Carrie Chapman Catt had spent a long night, day, and early evening on trains, clattering over 1,000 miles of track from New York City to Nashville. In the hours she wasn't reading field reports and legal documents, rimless eyeglasses perched on her nose, she read the newspapers and indulged in the guilty pleasure of a detective novel. By the time the train pulled into Nashville in the dusky twilight, it was hard to make out the copper and bronze statue of the messenger god Mercury perched atop the Union Station Tower, greeting travelers to the bustling capital city. Minerva, the warrior goddess, might have been a more fitting figure for the president of the National American Woman Suffrage Association, Susan B. Anthony's anointed heir, the supreme commander of its great suffrage army, the woman they called the Chief. Carrie Catt had been summoned to lead her troops into the fray one last time. At least she dearly hoped this might be the last time. She'd already devoted half of her life to the cause, 3 decades of constant work and travel. Her hair was silver and wavy, and she wore it short and brushed close, parted in the center, easy to groom on the run. Her face, once angular and strikingly handsome, was fleshier now. Her heavy eyelids drooped a bit, and the line of her jaw had softened, but she retained the same sly, thin-lipped smile, piercing blue eyes and arched eyebrows that made her look either surprised, amused, or annoyed, depending upon how she deployed them. She was definitely not amused this evening. She was worried, and she wasn't sure she could take the strain much longer. It was Kat's job, more precisely, her life's mission, to guide American women to the promised land of political freedom, securing for them the most basic right of democracy, the vote. For more than 70 years, since that first audacious meeting in Seneca Falls in 1848, generations of her suffrage sisters had faced public disdain, humiliation, rotten eggs, violent opposition, and prison as they petitioned, campaigned, lobbied, marched, and pleaded for their simple rights as citizens. Now the promise of the franchise, so long delayed, was within sight. The political emancipation of half of the United States citizens was at stake. And here, of all places, where she'd never imagined it possible, in the South, in Nashville, Tennessee could become the elusive 36th state to ratify the federal woman suffrage amendment. Or it could end the quest in failure. The Tennessee legislature would soon be called into special session to vote on ratifying the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, popularly called the Susan B. Anthony Amendment, one simple sentence stating that a citizen's right to vote could not be denied on account of sex. Nothing revolutionary, to Carrie Catt's mind. It was really just a clarification, an essential correction of the Founding Fathers' damned short-sightedness. Just over a year earlier, in June 1919, the amendment had finally been pushed through both houses of the U.S. Congress after 40 years of willful delay. Catt had kicked up her heels and broken into a wild dance when that news arrived. The amendment then moved to the states for ratification. She knew it would be a tough slog. Suffragists had to convince at least 36 state legislatures, 3/4 of the 48 states in the Union, to accept the amendment, while those opposed needed just 13 states to vote it down and kill it. The ratification campaign proved even slower and uglier than Catt expected. She had been sure it would be over by now, but it wasn't. By midsummer 1920, 35 states had ratified the amendment, 8 had rejected, 3 were refusing to consider. North Carolina and Tennessee were still up in the air, but North Carolina was a sure bet to reject. That left only Tennessee as a possible 36th state. If the Tennessee legislature could be persuaded, pressured, cajoled, and coerced, all these techniques would be needed, Catt was certain, to ratify the amendment, suffrage would become federal law, allowing every woman in every state to vote in all elections. Victory at last! Hallelujah! And just in time for the upcoming presidential election.